welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveil Christ to the World broadcast. And here we are just a few days before Christmas, and I think it's appropriate maybe that we share some of those very familiar passages found in Scripture. And I'd like to begin the broadcast with prayer, but I'll be reading from the very first chapter of Matthew, verses 18 through 23. Lord, we thank you for this time that we share together. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you came to be born of a virgin. Lord, that you came to redeem us, redeem man from sin, and to restore fellowship with the Father. Lord, there was no other way except the way that the Father chose. Lord, that you would be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And Lord, we honor you and praise you and thank you for your goodness, for who you are. And Lord, I ask those that are listening that have needs, Lord, in the busyness and hustle and bustle of the season, Lord, that you will minister to them in a personal way and cause them to know your love and care and concern for them. And Father, let faith and hope arise in their heart, knowing that everything's going to be all right. Lord, your word says, with everything, be careful for nothing, but with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to God. And so, Father, we thank you that as we lift those needs, every need, physically, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, financially, Lord, that it is your will to meet those needs. We honor you and praise you and thank you for it. Well, I'd like to share today and perhaps tomorrow on one of the names that were given, that was given to our Lord, Emmanuel, which means God with us. And let me share now, reading Matthew verses 18 through 23 from chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Isn't that an amazing, wonderful name, God with us? In the Semitic world, names were very significant, and they were used to describe the nature or characteristic of someone. The names and titles of Jesus Christ brilliantly reflect the many facets of his personality as well as his mission. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. He was not to be called this name, but this title was intended to give significance to the child's birth. In Isaiah, The ninth chapter, verse 6, the prophet wrote, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Perhaps because of the many prophecies surrounding this child's birth, as well as his many titles, God is very specific regarding the name of the Messiah. The first time we see the name Jesus used in the Gospels is in Matthew, the first chapter, verse 21. Of course, at that we know the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. And then also in Luke's account, we have the angel Gabriel appearing to Mary in Luke 1:31. And there the word says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Now, the important thing to remember that this was a fulfillment of a prophecy given hundreds of years earlier. Verse 22, "Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet." You know, when we look at the world today and the word of the Lord, the many prophecies that have been fulfilled, just as surely as this prophetic word about Jesus was fulfilled in the Lord's due time, so we know that every single word which has been spoken by the ancient prophets will be fulfilled in terms of the end times. We're living in those days, and we know that God does not lie. He's not a man that he should lie, but that everything that he has spoken will come to pass. Every word, every jot, every tittle, all his word shall not pass away. Heaven and earth may, but his word will not. And so this birth of the Messiah was foretold by the prophet Isaiah, who was to be a sign to the house of Judah, and at his birth, salvation would be near. Now I'd like to go to the seventh chapter of Isaiah. And before I actually share some verses, I'd like to give you a little background regarding the time that this prophecy was written by Isaiah. At this point in Israel's history, God's people had fallen far from the glory that they had enjoyed in the days of David and Solomon. Sin and transgression and idol worship had come in. The kingdom had been divided. You know, that was after or during the reign of Solomon, and it would fall even further. During Isaiah's ministry, Israel was to become victim to the Assyrians and be carried away, and later Judah as well would suffer at their hands, and eventually they also would be overwhelmed by the Babylonians, who would carry them into exile. In spite of all these things, the prophet foretold a day of future blessing when God would wash away the iniquity of his people and would raise up a branch, a rod out of the stem of Jesse to sit upon the throne of David. Let me read now those first nine chapters of Isaiah 7. "And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Razan, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. And his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Then the Lord said unto Isaiah, Go forth now to meet Ahaz," he was the king, "thou and Shear-Jashub thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. And say unto him, Take heed and be quiet, fear not, neither be faint-hearted for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Razan," it was Syria, "and the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, Let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God, It shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Razan, and within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. Now, we might need a little bit of background on King Ahaz. He was a very wicked king who, in 2 Kings 16:2, declares, did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord his God, as his father David had done. And this chapter provides the historical background to the reign of King Ahaz, as does 2 Chronicles, the 18th chapter, verses 5 through 21. What did he do? Well, he sacrificed his sons, imagine that, murdered his sons to the idol false god Moloch. He burnt incense in the high places. He caused Judah to transgress by building altars to false gods and by rebelling against the commands of the Lord. Let's go on now, reading further in this chapter 7, verses 10 through 12. Moreover, the Lord spoke again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee of a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. And verse 12 says, but Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. Now, beneath this smooth, pious, humble response, doesn't that sound good? You know, I'm not going to ask. I'm not going to tempt the Lord. Really, that was just a hypocritical surface response, because where he was really at was in total unbelief in God's ability to deliver Judah, as well, of course, his own self-will. All the while, he intended to put his trust in the king of Syria. How do we know that? Well, in 2 Kings 16 and 7, he sends messengers to the king of Assyria. And this is a quote. He says, I am thy servant and thy son. Come up and save me out of the hand of the king of Syria and out of the hand of the king of Israel, which rise up against me. And furthermore, to bribe the king of Assyria, he took silver and gold out of the king's house and the treasuries of the house of the Lord. So we see that he would not hear the word of the Lord. And on tomorrow's broadcast, because my time has come to a conclusion, we'll see what happens further. Thank you so much for joining me today. And in just a few moments, the announcer is going to give our mailing address. And if you need prayer, I know this is a very busy time of year, but you can write an email or just, and you don't even have to write much, just share what's on your heart, and the Lord will take it from there. And I'll send back whatever God gives to be a blessing to you. Thank you so much. God bless you during this wonderful Christmas season. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.